To be more than we can be. Without him, we would be nothing. But through him, all things are possible. So just think about that. He raises you up so that you can stand on mountains. And he raises us up to walk on the stormy seas. In essence, he says he raises us up to be more than we could be. So on our own power, we fall short. But through Christ, we can do anything. And this is our attitude, that we want to be upon his shoulders, to know that wherever we are on the shoulders of God. So therefore, we don't have to look down at our shoes when we're talking to people. We can look them in the eye, no matter who they are, because we are King's kids. We are King kids. And if we're King kids, that means that we are royal. And in that royalty, Peter says, we should be a little peculiar. We should be different from everybody else. We should act different. We should present ourselves in a different light. We should draw attention to ourselves in some cases. And somebody might say, that's arrogant. That is not the way. Then find out from them, how do they do it? And if theirs is not as good as yours, then do it your way. Do it your way. But you need to share the word of God in everything you do and make it possible for people to see God in you. That is our goal, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we want to do. We want to keep God and hope alive. Don't let it die down because of shyness or because of being afraid of offending somebody. Just step right up and be who you are, because you're weird. You're peculiar. You're strange. You're not like everybody else. And that is your badge of honor. Amen? Amen. We want to talk this morning about that very thing, about how do we get to be what I just talked about. Openly Christ-like. And I'm going to read to you from the book of John and the chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way. Where I'm going, you know the way. How do you know the way? You have been told the way. You've been taught the way. You've even been shown the way. But do you remember what Jesus said to John? In John, I'm sorry, Jesus didn't say it to John. He said it in John to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 3 to be exact. He said, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Unless you've been born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Watch this. Same chapter, John 14, and look at verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you care, do what I say. Do what I say. Jesus loved the Father, God, so much that he was obedient to every direction that God gave him. Everything God told him to say, he said. Everything he told him to do, he did, even to the death on the cross. So if we love Jesus, then we will do what he say. We will do what he say. You see, we are obligated because of his gift to us. So if we love him, we will do what he say, because we are here in his stead. If he don't do what he did, then he would still be here and we would still be somewhere. But because of him, we're here. And this is what he said, if you love me, then you'll do what I say. And this is big. This is really big. This is big because he really wants us to know this. Watch what verse 21 says. Same chapter, 14, 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that hath, he's got them. He knows them. And he keeps them. He's doing them. He that knows my commandments and are doing them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest or will show myself to him. You have all of the information, so do it. Do it and then reap the benefits of the Father and the Son. He said, I will love him and my Father will love him and I will show myself to him. Those are the benefits that we have by being able to see him. And then he goes on again, same chapter, 23. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home with him. I want you to pay attention to what he is saying here, that when you keep his word, then he feels comfortable by making his home with you. Then in verse 24, he goes on and he says it again. He says, he that loveth me not, he that don't love me, keepeth not my sayings. If you don't love me, you don't do what I say. He is saying to us here that when a believer loves God, that he will keep his commandments, and he's talking about God coming and making his home with you. But if you don't love him, you don't have to say a word, because it will be obvious, because you won't do what he say. This is very important stuff. He's telling us here that our obedience to him will show our love for him. And our love for him will put us in a place to where he is constantly with us. He thinks this is very important because after giving his life for us, he doesn't want us to just throw it away because of hard-headedness. I've given my life for you, so stay with me. I care enough to come and be with you. Watch what he says here. He loves us so much, and with this you should find the value that he puts upon us. In verse 16, same chapter, chapter 14 of John, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he lives with you and shall be in you. Don't you know, 1 Corinthians says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God and it is not your own? He has come and made his house with you once you accept him. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You see, after we have fail to obey him, he says, let me give him another avenue. Let me give him another avenue. And then he goes on to say these things. My Father will send you another comforter to come and dwell with you. That tells us how much value he puts on us. He don't want to lose us. And he wants his presence to be always with us. So he said, I'm going to pray to my Father. I'm going to pray to my Father, and he will send you another comforter, another encourager, another advocate, another counselor. He doesn't want us to be out of his presence. See, he is all of these things to us.
Yes, he is.
He's all of these things to us. And he doesn't want us to be without his presence. So he's going to pray to his Father, and he's going to send us another comforter so that we are not alone. But watch what he said here. I love that part where he says that, and I'm going to come to you. The world can't see me because they don't know me. They can't receive me, and they can't see me. And you heard people say, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. But he says, the world can't see me, but I will come to you. And that tells us that there is a relationship between him and us that is so personal that he is only visible to us. Then how does the world get in touch with him since he is only visible to us? I'm going to let you in on that. Watch what it says. It takes you all the way back to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't have the promise that we got. As a matter of fact, they didn't even hear of most of the things that we enjoy. But they lived and believed the little bit that they knew. They believed it and they lived it to the point that they were willing to die for the word of God. Where are we standing this morning? How far are we willing to go? Are we willing to die for the word of God? That's what they were willing to do. And they didn't have nearly half, well, not less than half of what we got. And you say, well, what did they have, Pastor? I'll tell you what they had. They had Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3, 4, and 5. You should have no other God before me. You should not make any image of human, beast, fowl, or fish. And you should not bow down and worship them. And that's exactly what they were presented with. They were presented with a 90-foot tall statue, 9 feet wide, and told to bow down and worship it. King Nebuchadnezzar said, when you hear the music, then everybody fall down and worship the idol. They said, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. And the verbiage in this passage is astounding. The verbiage in this passage is what you have to key on in order to know what he's talking about here. Because he said that we are not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And it said the word got back to the king that these boys are not going to do it. He came out personally and said to them, to their faces, yep, I'm going to give you one more chance. We're going to play the music again, and when you hear the music, you bow down and worship the idol. They said, we're not going to be careful about this. We're not going to be careful about this. I mean, we don't have to think about this. There's no negotiation. There's nothing that we have to discuss. We're just not going to do this. We're not going to do this. So the king says, I'm the king here. You will do it or you will die. I will throw you in the furnace and burn you alive. And I don't care what God you're serving, he will not be able to save you from me. But watch what they say. This is what I'm saying. It's astounding when you listen to what they say. They said that, well, we don't know if the God that we serve will save us or not. We don't know if he will save us or not. You hear what he's saying? We don't know if he'll save us or not. But we do know that he is able. We don't know if he will, but we know that he is able. I'm trying to get us just want to get into the verbiage of what they're saying, you see, because is your God able? When you know that he's able, you can be a slave, you see, because they didn't have no liberty. They couldn't leave Babylon if they wanted to. They had been captured and were there as slaves in bondage. And it says they standing there talking face to the king. The Babylonian citizens would never speak to the king in that way. Standing there telling him what they're not going to do. And these boys are slaves saying, we're not going to do that. See, when you are in line and in cahoots with him, you can stand there and speak. Because you know who you are and you know who he is, and it doesn't matter what he thinks. Read the passage, and it tells you that the king's countenance changed. His whole expression, his whole face, he can't figure out, slaves talking to me like that? But they said, we know that our God is able, but he may not save us. He may have another reason for it. But it doesn't matter. But we're not going to do that. Did you get that? We are not going to do that. They had made the decision not to do it. They chose not to do it. They didn't give him no excuse. Well, I can't do that. Well, why can't you do it? Well, my back is out. Oh, I don't feel like it today. I can't do it because I am not going to do it. No question. I am not. That is a decision that I've made. And the book says that the king got so mad that he cranked the furnace up 7 times hotter than it normally was and said, dispense with them. Throw them in the fire. And the fire now is too hot for any life to be sustained in his presence. Well, how do you know that, preacher? I know that because the men who took him up there and threw him into fires burned up on the platform. Threw them in the fire and they burned up on the platform. That's how hot it was. And if you're familiar with your oven, you know, when you're baking that cake and you got that window in your oven door, you don't have to open the door to see it. You look in there to see if it's rising. The king must have looked in a little door like that in the furnace to see if them boys was flopping around there. And he said, did we throw 3 men in there or 4? Everybody said, we threw 3. He said, well, I see 4. I see 4. And they're walking around and they're unharmed. And the fourth one, he looks like the Son of God. He said, then that fourth one looks like the Son of God. And he began to cry, Shadrach, Meshach, and come out of there, come out of there. You're listening to the verbiage. I'm telling you, you got to pay attention to what he's saying. He's saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you guys come out. It's telling us that they have the ability to come out, but they're in there with Jesus, so they just walking around in there. They could have come out by themselves if it was too hot for them. But wherever God is, that's where you find your peace. You can be at peace in the furnace. He had to call them out. You guys come out of there. Come out. Said that they came out. They came out and the clothes were still intact. They wasn't singed. Their hair, everything was great. They could even still smell the old spice on them. They didn't even smell like smoke, he said. Didn't even smell like smoke. God was with them. God was with them. He did not leave them comfortless or fatherless or without protection. He did not leave them comfortless. I will come to you. They found themselves in one of the worst conditions that you could imagine, but there he was in the midst.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
There he was in the midst. Because I will not leave you comfortless. But how do you get there? If you love me, keep my commandments. You got to be obedient. You have to be obedient. And it says that when they came out, everybody wanted to get around and see what kind of boys is he? What happened here? The king called it out. Remember, the Bible told us that the world will not be able to see me, but I will come to you. Now I'm getting a little confused because the king saw him. And what happened here? Pastor, you're confusing me. You said that he said that they can't see me, and now you said that the king saw. The king saw him and called him out. The fourth one looks like the Son of God. Well, what happened here? Have you ever seen that terrible accident where everybody walked away unscathed, and you look at the conditions of a situation and you say, man, everybody should have died in that. God was with them. You just called him out. You just called him out. You see, with us, he's with us all the time, but he's unnoticeable. He's unnoticeable because the world is filled with lust, greed, and glitter. And he is invisible until we call attention to him. When we keep his commandments, when we love him, then we can see him all the time. Everything we see and everywhere we look, we see him. Because he has come to us and he lives with us. He's pointing out that this obedience is a very serious business. A very serious business. We know that because he told us four times in four different ways that our obedience was shown through our love for him. So when we love him, we exhibit him. When you see me coming, if you saw my dad, you'd say, that must be old Charlie Jones' son. Look, he walks just like him, looks just like him too. Both of them ugly. But I have some of those characteristics. Some of them I had to get rid of. Some of those characteristics I had to get away from because I would be doing things and people say, this is just like old Charlie Jones. Because I was being bad. But I had that characteristic. So when people see you coming, they can see Jesus in you. But you have to have him in you. You have to be that weird person. You have to be that person that stands out. That person that is peculiar, as Peter said. You have to be peculiar. Look at him. Thinks he's something. Think he's better than everybody else. Think he's got a pipeline to God. Think that God don't hear nobody but him. Think, and you can say yes to all of that. Because that's what you're supposed to believe. You should believe that you have a pipeline to God. You should believe that God listens to you. That's what Jesus said. If you recall at Lazarus' grave, what did he say? He said he looked up and, Father, I'm only saying this because they are here. But I know you hear me all the time. That's where you should be. This is what he's telling us in this passage. That when we love him, we keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, he makes his home in us. And when his home is in us, then we have to live like he does. We can't live like we used to. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All that old stuff is gone away and everything becomes new. So when your friends see you coming out and they say, girl, what happened to you? We used to do all these things. I'm a new creature. I'm a new crowd. I don't do that stuff no more. How did you know? Well, you just don't look the same. You don't act the same. Everything about you is different. Well, thank God. I think I've made it now. That's what you should be doing. And oh, that's so arrogant. No, that ain't. That's just being truthful. And Jesus said, you call those things that are not as though they were. So if you ain't got there yet, say it anyway. Because that's where you're headed. This is what I'm talking about. You have to get into his realm and into his mode so that you can be what he wants you to be. You can't be you and be him too. Paul gave us a good example. He says, I die to myself daily so that I might attain the resurrection of Christ. That's where we want to. We want to attain the resurrection of Christ. We want to be like him. Our goal in life is to walk upright and to be what he wants us to be. But we got to come out of that shell. We all know the cocoon situation, the butterfly, the frogs, all of these things that are something else before they get to what they are supposed to be. You see, we've been those things. Now we want to get to what we're supposed to be. Men and women of God following in Christ's footsteps. Oh yeah, I used to be a tadpole, but now I'm a frog. I used to be a caterpillar, but now I'm a butterfly. I'm saying that we have to make that transition, and it has to be a decision. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you say you can't, you've defeated yourself before you start, so just forget about it. But you are what God wants you to be when you allow him to take up residence in you. But there are so many things that we have to do first. There's so many things that we have to do first. Because I'm just judging on myself. There was a lot of stuff that I had to shed. I had to come out of that cocoon. Then I had to come out of that worm stay before I could get my wings. See, and they still ain't long enough. I jump off this thing, I'm going down. I got to wait till I get them. When I jump off this thing, I can take to the air. That's where I want to go. I want to soar with Christ. Soar with Christ. If you love me, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, the king gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a command. When you hear that music, but they already had a commandment. They already had a commandment. You already got a commandment. He has told you what you ought to do. Put no other God before me. And don't worship no images. I am a jealous God. I want all of you all the time. Well, Jesus, you know, I can go to the club and get drunk tonight and then come back and be good tomorrow. You'll forgive me. No, I want you all the time. I don't want you in an impaired statement condition. I want you at the top of your game all the time because there's so many people out there who need to know what you got. And if you're drunk, you can't tell them. You could tell them, but they may not understand it because your words are slurred. Your breath is bad, and you're stumbling around. You got to be on your game so that you can give them what you got. So if you love, he says, keep my commandments. And he that have my commandments, not looking for them, not trying to get them, not studying for them, he that have them, and keep them. He it is that loved me. You got to get them. You got to learn them. And then do them. And do you know that you can't do nothing that you don't know nothing about? If you don't know it, you can't do it. You have to learn them. He says, he who hath my commandments, who's got them and keep them, who do them. And if a man love me, he'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my words. But if you don't love me, you will not keep my sayings. four times he is insisting upon us understanding what he is saying here. You might have misunderstood the, if you love me, you keep my commandment. But out of the four attempts, you should get one of them that lets you know that if you love God, you will follow his commandments. And if you follow his commandments, as is plainly spoken, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. And just in case you're hard-headed and you don't get it, and you think that because I died and ascended to heaven that I can't be in you and up there at the same place, my Father will send you a comforter in my place to do all of the things that I did. And then he lets the cat out of the bag that it's him. He says, and I will come to you. That's beautiful stuff. It's beautiful stuff. But we have to embody it, and then we have to walk it, and then we can have the benefits of the Father and the Son. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you give us these avenues that we can see how you want us to be, Father. Help us to restrain ourselves from doubt, Father. Help us restrain ourselves from excuses. Help us restrain ourselves, Father, for reasons why we shouldn't do what you've asked us to do, or that we're going to put it off and do it later. Father, help us to be strong in our relationship with you. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, to give us the boldness to stand on your principles and on your promises, to walk in the way that you set down for us to go. We ask, Father, for your blessings to be upon those who don't know you, Father. Open their hearts so that our input will stick and that they will come around and be what you want them to be. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, to send us out, Father. If it's two by two, then two by two. If we have to go along, Father, send us anyway. Just help us to share your word with those we come in contact with. We pray, Father, for guidance. We pray for boldness. We pray for discernment. But, Father, we pray most of all for your blessings and your strength to be upon us, to help us to be what you want us to be. We thank you for all that you've done, for the places that you brought us from, Father. Help us never to look back, but to continue to move forward, reaching for that goal, Father. Help us to stay in line with your word. Fill us, Father, with ambition and with enthusiasm, Father. And let us not be shy. Let us always speak the truth. We just praise you, Father, for all that you've done. And we pray, Father, for everything that you're going to do for us. For we know that the best is yet to come. Help us to be ready, Father, to live in that best. And we thank you in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.